So 57, 58, and 59 are the core of this conception of Jung's in the commentary on The Secret of the Golden Flower. In other words, what's important to Jung is the Po and the Hung as a opposition energy module. Number 62, paragraph 62, concerning the anima as the personification of the unconscious in general, is where this picks up and becomes very important in terms of Jung's understanding of the import. The paragraph 62 is an understanding of the import of his conception, and paragraph 63 is the understanding of the significance. 62 deals with the import, that is, where is this going? And 63 deals with the significance. Well, what does this mean that we're going there? What is going our understanding? So 62 and 63. 62 on the anima, the soul. The soul as a personification of the unconscious in general. Well, now, pause for just a second. What's unconscious? What's unconscious in Taoism? Taoism is life and consciousness. So if you have something that is not consciousness, what is it in Taoism? It's life. Is life unconscious? Wow. Don't tell Mother Nature she's unconscious. Why? You get exactly the antitheticality of that. Your consciousness is a conception that life is unconscious will lead you into unconsciousness consciously. And a Taoist would sort of follow this with sharp eyes, not saying too much, but following this and understanding, well, that's what's happened in the West, isn't it? Then you get the paradox of the blind leading the blind, that kind of a thing. The final sequence in this is in the next section, the detachment of consciousness from the object. And it starts with paragraph 64. And you might make a note here that starting with paragraph 64, you have the application. You have the psychic technology of what was outlined previously. So you're taking Jung's conception from before, and you're putting it into motion, into application. So when it comes to reading this section, Detachment of Consciousness from the Object, which runs from page 44 to page 48, paragraph 64 to 71, be very circumspect when you read that. I'll use, paradoxically, Jung's own cautionary warning here. Be very cautious about reading paragraphs 64 to 71, about detaching consciousness from the object. Why? Because in the largest reality, you don't want to detach consciousness from life. What happens if you detach consciousness from life? Death. What else could it be? The mystery is that one would not understand that. That it is so blatant and so plain that you wouldn't understand that. So it's like the old admonition. I can't tell you how many sages have said it. When the way is there between life and death, choose life. Don't choose death. How do you choose death? You interplay with the image base that death offers. That's it. As soon as you interact with it, only equanimity of non-interplay pierces through the death phantom. As soon as you interplay with it, you're done. Then you're all wrapped up in that. That's what karma is, being wrapped up in that. Endless, 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 until you patiently sort it out again. So be very circumspect when you read this section. Now, if I'm trying to give you the best teaching available and possible under the circumstances, if you get curious about this, Mr. Hall's book, Self-Unfoldment, is all based on this, especially paragraph 64 to 71. His Self-Unfoldment, the book Self-Unfoldment, written in 1940, is centered around this. And Mr. Hall's treatment of it can be trusted. In other words, he has enough circumspection. He has enough activated life wisdom to go along with his penetrating consciousness to give you a companion to think along with about this. So his book, Self-Unfoldment, if you want to get into this, if it seems to you that you want to do this, his book would be a good companion, a bedside companion to have along with this. He's very trustworthy. You can trust Self-Unfoldment. So when you come to this section of The Secret of the Golden Flower, if you're going to pursue it, please take a little companion like Mr. Hall's Self-Unfoldment along with you. Otherwise, keep your critical faculty intact. What is your critical faculty? You're following an expression of an idea through its movements. The idea and its antithetical tendencies and its synthetic qualities. And if you can't objectivize this to yourself, if you don't have enough, it's a kind of a contemplative maturity. It's no reflection on you as an immature individual or anything like that. It's simply a structural quality. No personal criticisms intended at all. It's a structural point that I'm making. If you can't be circumspect about it, then the next best thing is to ensure that your method of approach is circumspectual, that you just keep, instead of trying to pressure your way through and have the idea, make sure that you circle around it, and keep nibbling at it. It's the whole thing. The Faustian motion is to want to grab the idea by its neck. That whole thing is demonic. Because if you try and do it prematurely, it's there. But it's there more than you are. And in terms of an energy exchange, where's the energy going to flow? It's going to flow to the weaker pole every damn time. Nothing personal, but that's the way that it is. So your inner tranquility is a part of gaining parity, as it were, with an energy pole situation. And you don't want to bleed yourself to death psychically by straining to get it now. How many people have you heard, friends and relatives, and maybe even yourselves, saying, I want it now? Well, the now people are condemning themselves to death, psychic death. So be circumspect. The last few pages, the fulfillment, I think you can read at any time, paragraphs 72 through 82, those 10 paragraphs you can read at any time. And it's like Jung's eulogy is the correct word. It's a eulogy on this whole process. Let me read the last paragraph of the eulogy, conclusion is a requirement for the scientific psychological nature of the paper, but the eulogy ends with this. Let me read you the last three sections, and then we'll take our break. I better make it the last four, starting with 79 on page 53. In the Pauline Christ symbol, the supreme religious experience of West and East confront one another. Christ, the sorrow-laden hero, and the golden flower that blooms in the purple hall of the city of Jade. What a contrast. What an unfathomable difference. What an abyss of history. A problem fit for the crowning work of a future psychologist. Among the great religious problems of the present is one which has received scant attention, but which is, in fact, the main problem of our day, the evolution of the religious spirit. If we are to discuss it, we must emphasize the difference between East and West in their treatment of the jewel, the central symbol. The West lays stress on the human incarnation and even on the personality and historicity of Christ, whereas the East says, without beginning, without end, without past, without future. The Christian subordinates himself to the superior divine person in expectation of his grace, but the Oriental knows that redemption depends on the work he does on himself. The Tao grows out of the individual. The Imitatio Christi has this disadvantage. In the long run, we worship as a divine example a man who embodied the deepest meaning of life, and then out of sheer imitation, we forget to make real our own deepest meaning, self-realization. As a matter of fact, it is not altogether inconvenient to renounce one's own meaning. Had Jesus done so, he probably would have become a respectable carpenter and not a religious rebel, to whom the same thing would naturally happen today as happened then. The imitation of Christ might well be understood in a deeper sense. It could be taken as the duty to realize one's deepest, deepest conviction with the same courage and the same self-sacrifice shown by Jesus. Happily, not everyone has the task of being a leader of humanity or a great rebel. And so, after all, it might be possible for each to realize himself in his own way. This honesty might even become an ideal, since great innovations always begin in the most unlikely places. The fact that people today are not nearly as ashamed of their nakedness as they used to be might be the beginning of a recognition of themselves as they really are. Hard upon this will follow an increasing recognition of many things that were formerly strictly taboo, for the reality of the earth will not forever remain veiled like the Virgenes Velandae of Tertullian. Moral unmasking is but a step further in the same direction, and behold, there stands man as he is, and admits to himself that he is as he is. If he does this in a meaningless way, he is just a muddled fool. But if he knows the significance of what he is doing, he could belong to a higher order of man who makes real the Christ symbol, regardless of the suffering involved. It has often been observed that purely concrete taboos or magical rites in an early stage of religion become in the next stage something psychic or even purely spiritual symbols. An outward law becomes in the course of time an inward conviction. Thus it might easily happen to contemporary man, especially Protestants, that the person Jesus, now existing outside in the realm of history, might become the higher man within himself. Then we would have attained in a European way the psychological state corresponding to Eastern enlightenment. All this is a step. All this, all of this is a step in the evolution of a higher consciousness on its way to unknown goals. And it is not metaphysics as ordinarily understood. To that extent, it is only psychology. But to that extent, too, it is experientiable, understandable, and thank God, real. A reality we can do something with, a living reality full of possibilities. The fact that I am content with what can be experienced psychically and reject the metaphysical does not amount, as any intelligent person can see, to a gesture of skepticism or agnosticism aimed at faith and trust in higher powers, but means approximately the same as what Kant meant when he called the thing in itself a merely negative borderline concept. The thing in itself has an antithetical, analytical definiteness to it. Where does the thing in itself occur? In Kant, in the mind. Where's the movement of antitheticality from the objective natural world to the mind? Where's the synthetic move then from the mind to the world? Where's the ecology? That circle. But means approximately the same as what Kant meant when he called the thing in itself a merely negative borderline concept. The bare outline, the antitheticality is what makes the outline. The boundary, the definition, is what you take away. What you take away creates the boundary. Do you notice what a mysterious process thought is? Very mysterious. It is not at all what one thought. The boundary making is what you take away. That's why the antitheticality is mental objectivity. Every statement about the transcendental is to be avoided because it is only a laughable presumption on the part of a human mind unconscious of its limitations. What are its limitations? Every time the mind makes objective form, it's utilizing its limitationality. It's utilizing it. We think with the limited. Does the unlimited then not occur? It occurs all that much more. Basic Pythagoreanism. The limited and the unlimited together are real. Together are real. Therefore, concludes Jung, when God or the Tao is named an impulse of the soul or a psychic state, something has been said about the knowable only, but nothing about the unknowable, about which nothing can be determined. And it's like an admonition to know consciously that that is true. It's an old medieval Jewish form of prayer that when you have pronounced all of the names of God, offer them up to God who is unnameable. Give them up. You've done your best, and now keep your mouth shut and let him be. It's like that. So let's take a break, and we'll come back to the students. Actual practical operation for other people on all levels, that it work for them. My concern is, does it fly? I'm like a shipwright that wants to make sure that that boat's going to work for them in storms, because the educational processes that are there now are not working. The national dropout rate is 50%. It's a toss-up whether you will finish school or not. Can you imagine that? It's a toss-up. So there needs to be something that works. And this is one pattern that will be offered. But there has to be a way to have these kinds of assignments work. It's important that there be a way that they work. This particular assignment is extremely important because it's not only can you hold up as an individual, can you work with other people in a what do they call it, a plenary committee, and get something done. That's a very important knack. So this is a puzzle for me. It's been a problem. As I said before, in the early 70s when I taught, it only worked once in 5 years. But there's something here, and I guess the key that I see is that people are not serious about the endeavor. Not just not coming, but just not doing it. One is serious about something if you do it. So I'll have to put in sometime in the next 6 months another assignment sequence like this and see if I can fashion this in the right way. This is a real lack on my part. Not to have understood this and mastered this is a serious flaw. So I'm going to be learning from you, so do the best that you can, if you will. I'll try and pay attention to this whole thing. Here's what we have before us. We have this volume, Alchemical Studies, which is written at the level that we have to be able to think. We have to be able to think accurately at this level in order to understand consciousness. In other words, this book is an example that we have to be able to think competently together at this level at least in order to have enough critical acumen to address the qualities of the problems that confront us. If we can't think together at this level, nothing's going to work very much. You can only do so much by insight by yourself. So the problem here is not, can I explicate this volume for you? That's irrelevant. Actually, it's irrelevant. The problem is, can you use your psychic energy together to raise a critical perspective on this book? If you can, you've come a long ways towards disclosing consciously to yourself one of the main structural constants of person making. One of the main structural constants of person making is that you're, what was the old, when I was in grade school, can you get along with others? And it's just raised to a higher level. Can you get along with others in a conscious endeavor like this? It's an essential part of a complete person that they be able to do this. Aside from all the other capacities that you could enumerate, this is certainly one. Can you inspire enough trust and confidence in someone else that they'll take you seriously at this level? And can you give enough trust to others to be able to take what they say and do as equal to your own in valuation? It's a real problem. And some people cannot. And of course, as this becomes an issue now in the educational process, there are some people who are unable to face this deficiency in themselves and project it out in various other kinds of fantasy ways. And if I were a therapist, I would caution them to to pay attention to it in a professional way. But for us, it needn't go to that medicinal extreme. Just treat it as a serious endeavor. Don't make it too astringent, but as an educational endeavor. Now, the first one, The Secret of the Golden Flower, this is Sina and Robert and Dolores. Did the three of you, what I'm interested in, did you ever get a chance to get together?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Robert who is not
Robert
here today?
Robert Mueller, yes.
Robert Mueller.
And he has left a tape for us to
Okay,
hear.
Good.
Can I say something?
Yes.
If you were wondering maybe how more of us could have been here, I think if you had maybe given us a definite date, I myself had to go and escrow clothing, but I changed it to be here because I was trying to do that before you told us that we would be here. And if I had known the date, I would have arranged around it. I would have made sure that nothing interfered with that date. And I know Robert went on a retreat of some sort, didn't he? That he already had committed himself.
Well, the weekend seminar.
Yeah.
Is that the same one that Jerry went?
No,
different. Mm-hmm. It just happened synchronistically to be the same. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
No, that
yeah.
The only thing.
Okay, so some calendar date would have been better for you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm here today.
Yeah. Let's just let me air out some impressions. Why is there not a calendar date? For me to assign dates is to impose a process plan to on the happenings here. It would predispose the whole issue, whatever comes out, to you're unconsciously trying to match my conception. And since I'm not divulging a conception very readily, you would guess. Not just you, I'm speaking in general out loud. That's why I haven't done that.
I guess because at the beginning I think you said in about 6 weeks that I was counting.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, and I thought if I got this done before I'd be ready. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to go as straight as possible, and all the crookedness that are in the lines is because I realize there's high energy. It's like seeing to observe. If you really get into the situation, you realize how high pressure it could really be. Because real values and real problems that you might have are going to be touched. This is a very complete process. I touch all the keys. And aside from the humane compassion that you want to care for someone, that this may be very difficult for them. Even so, sometimes it reaches the breaking point. Some of you remember Laura Lassworth, who was here in the class. That mask-making assignment was almost a do-or-die assignment for her, and she was able to do the mask, unable to ever come again. It's not a question of intelligence or integrity or desire. She's a professor of art at Cal State Northridge. She's a totally competent person. But the mask-making was presented in such a way that was almost too much for her. Where did she go? She went to training to get the catechetical training in Catholicism, which her mother had wanted her to do when she was an adolescent and ignored and never wanted to. That's the way that that vector came up. Not that she's going to be a Catholic, but that's how the pressures worked out. A lot of this is very, very precarious for many people, but different parts for different people. And one thing that I'm putting out, and hopefully that some of you are able to learn, is that if we do this together, if we do this as, this is the real meaning of a community, if we do this process together, there's a support that's there. And if it's, if the community is open enough, if nobody is commandeering the energy, you can gain support just from coming. Sometimes it's a comfort to face the uncomfortability psychologically and just come in and just sit here and just take it in. I've done all this myself. I've been sometimes happy to just be as inert as the sack of potatoes in the pantry and glad of it. So there are many considerations like this. By putting a calendrical schedule on would raise the breaking point or lower the breaking temperature for many people, which is why I don't do that. I try to keep it within sketchy reason. I mentioned it 6 weeks and it's been about, what, 7 or 8 weeks, something like that. So I try to keep it close. The reason why I haven't done a calendar thing is because a time limit like that creates a threshold, and if there's pressure already, it'll constellate the pressure around this occurrence. For instance, the mask assignment, when it came time to do the mask assignment, just to use this example again, Laura wrote me a letter and said it was the most nightmarish and difficult day of her life. And she did it, but she burnt out for a while, temporarily. So there's a little bit of humanity here, which I'm very conscious of. There isn't anybody here who hasn't suffered, including me. And I know what it's like to just not have one more straw laid on you. That's how sensitive we become. The saying is quite accurate, the straw that broke the camel's back. Whereas in a real perspective, if one can transform that, it's like it isn't an issue of straws or tons even. There's nothing that could break your back. But that's unconscious at the moment. It's antithetical to the emotional tone that's dominating. It's like D.T. Suzuki said once, very often people are enlightened at the very moment that they go through with their suicide. But it's too late, they can't stop it, so. And it's like, in some sort of, some kinds of spiritual training, you evoke and you confront yourself with that. And it is never nice. It is always more despairing and sickening than you ever could have imagined, because the antitheticality becomes very defined. This is exactly what I don't want to do. And if you feel that you're being compelled to that, that's too much. The vector always goes to fantasy. You always fantasize. Even animals will do this. So I haven't done it for this. One thing that probably might be sharpened up in this is to nibble away at it and have interim comments all along, start the very next week, and that way build up a sense that it's coming along, but not that it's impending at any such date. So maybe the sense of, how can I phrase this? What about devoting 20 minutes a Saturday to just go around and hear just a sentence from everybody, just to keep current all the way through and see how we're doing? Would that help?
I don't think it would help me.
Wouldn't help you?
Yeah.
You need a definite date. Okay, some people need a definite date.
Obviously, I don't need a definite date because I'm here. So
well, you
were
see,
talking, that was you answered my question. I mean,
I think it might have helped me to do a little, make it more ongoing because I'm somewhat deadline oriented.
You're deadline oriented. You're relieved by having that threshold there. When you know it's due at such and such a date, you can plan for it.
No, I think it would have been better for me to have needed to give a little along the way.
Oh, to give a little along the way. Oh, so that's all right. Yeah. So nibbling at it might be all right then, too.
Would have been better.
Okay. So maybe a combination of nibbling towards a date.
Also, that...
Is that a, that's a double entendre, isn't it?
It would help clarify things along the way.
Wonder what Jerome Brunner would say. Yeah, we're nibbling toward a date, Professor Brunner. Yeah. Do you know which hand it's in? A little private jokes.
Like on the way.
Okay. That's right.
To where I, to me, the problem with something like this, like philosophical, this is a huge thing that has taken me 5 years to have enough understanding to be able to
know what you're reading.
To know what I'm reading.
Yeah.
To be able to have some experience and some understanding with it.
Yeah.
All the hell that I've been through and everything else. And to try to read something like this, to be able to assimilate it myself and to go back the second time and to structure what my understanding is, and then try to relate it to other people. I mean, that is really a lot to ask.
It is a lot to ask. Because it spreads in both directions. I guess what I was hoping for, and have been hoping for maybe the last 20 years, is that what they used to call peer pressure would operate as the shaping energy here. That if you knew that, well, Sina and Robert and Dolores are together in this, that you're going to have to do it, that you'd work together, and working together would create its own internal dynamic towards being ready. Now, as a matter of fact, whether you believe it or not, it did work in this case for you three. I mean, here's Robert's tape. You've shown up and you've managed to be here. And in this particular sequence, two out of the three really were not going to be here, and only because of your heroic effort that you're able to be here. I mean, there are times when you have to be at an escrow situation and there's nothing you can do. So, well, what about, let's just come over here for a second to the philosophic tree, Chris and Ed and Walter and Toshi. There's four other people. What was your experience? Toshi, what was your experience in that particular assignment? How would a date have helped you? Because you're in an escrow situation, two escrows.
Not really.
No?
One is probably closed.
One closed.
One closed.
And one hasn't opened yet.
The teaching assignment has been about giving me contrast, and that's been my main focus. I'm in terms of being a
Did you, were you able to talk to?
I did, I was trying to get him to work his time in, because he's done a lot of reading in the group so far.
And did Ed inspire?
Well,
where is Ed? Oh, there he is.
City, but
I'm used to seeing Ed over here. Did you inspire him? Did you give him information? Oh. Well, Walter, what was your situation this time? You've done this before.
My situation is an inert potato sack.
Coveting the beautiful serenity of that sack of potatoes. God. Well, what about, let's go over here to, let's talk about Molly and Dan for a moment with Paracelsus. What was your experience in that, Dan? Did you get together with Molly, or you're going to do it today with Gustavo and Sylvie and the two of you, and I guess it planned that far to come together today.
Well, that plan only happened last Saturday. The other two hadn't been here for a while because they were in South America.
Right.
And Molly and I simply never connected. So we were planning to get together today after the lecture, but I don't know how long or under what structure it would have been.
Okay. So you're, and Molly, your experience is that this is about as far as it had gotten and really needed to get, I guess. They have been, and I was just thinking that in terms of your. Yeah. So in terms of your committee, really, there have been so many people gone, it's been hard to get a sense that there's anything forming.
There's no quorum.
There's no quorum, right. There hasn't. Sure. Uh-huh. I think, Dan, the same way. You've been pursuing it in your own way.
Right. We can add two more escrows to the collection.
Half the class is in escrow.
To whom? That's the question.
You know, when I was a little boy and heard that word, I thought it was some form of purgatory. And I was always meaning to ask, but never could quite ask somebody and say, well, what do they do to you when you're in escrow?
That's
true. Now, let's see, for Mercurius, that was you, Don, and Lois, and Linda. Did the three of you...
Linda's been out of town or unavailable, but Lois and I have met and read and discussed it, and we know that, you know, if we don't present today, that Linda will be back next week, and that we have read it and hopefully gotten together. So we're
you were not able to phone her or get in contact,
well,
I guess.
She's
okay. So the three of you have some kind of working plan.
Oh, yeah.
You're at it.
We thought if Lois and I didn't do it today, that we'd almost surely get together with Linda before next week.
Okay. And maybe because that's the fourth one, so it's pretty low on the list. You're not going to come up this week.
We guessed that, but we wanted to share our own.
Okay.
I would like to add one thing.
Please.
The first week, I took the initiative to start having to get us together, and Jennifer immediately botched it, and she's the only one who's not here. That's kind of interesting.
So accepting kiboshing sometimes
well,
is it.
I didn't want to assume.
What is kiboshing?
Well,
It's an African term, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's calabash. No, that's...
No, but I guess I don't particularly like to assume the leadership role in these things, and probably other people don't. I think we've got such independent souls in this group, it's very hard for us to come together.
Yeah, the whole purpose here of not having a chairman or a leader of the committee is to emphasize that there is no chairman, there is no leader. I try to conduct myself in such a way that when I'm sitting here in the chair, I'm delivering, and when I'm not in the chair, you could ignore me. Yes, always.